Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, doesn't he wish he was Mo?
What? I'm not that hungry.
I am.
Face hungry. I know.
Really hungry.
How hungry are you?
Hungry enough to eat your cooking.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Cajun style.
Alright, We Talk Wrestling, not Mo's food. And
that's true.
Though that would be a hell of a podcast, and it would probably be a marathon, like 10-hour podcast. Uh-huh. But
yeah,
But all right, let's go. Let's talk. What the hell? What do we call it again? Wrestling.
Wrestling.
WTW, motherfuckers.
Sure. Monday Night Raw,
motherfuckers.
Motherfuckers got a 2.6 rating.
Yeah. So, yeah. Terrible. Worst since 97.
July of 97, I guess, and on holiday worst. This show, probably not as good as that July of 97 show.
You're a big fan of wrestling in July of 97.
I was a big fan of wrestling in July of 97, but not the, I didn't think, again, Raw suffers, if this was a 2-hour show, I would probably have been raving about it, actually.
Tell you the truth, if this was a 90-minute show and SmackDown was a 90-minute show, this would be the best wrestling we've ever seen. That's what it is. I mean, that's cutting out 2 hours. That's cutting out main event. You cut off an hour and a half off Raw. You cut off an hour off SmackDown. That's 3 hours you're cutting out, right? They cut out 3 hours of their programming. They're not having this ratings problem.
Oh, yeah, they are.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are.
No, they're not.
Right now, I mean, well, you never go to this length. You never have those 3 hours. And you have a ratings problem, but you don't have a 2.6 ratings problem.
No, you have a ratings problem. You have a 3.1, 3.2.
Yeah, you have a 3.0 ratings problem,
yeah, sure. And which would be, I suppose, they would consider a little disappointing because they still don't have the guy on top who's going to move those ratings to a Rock level or Austin level. But they are not at 2.6, you know. They're about 3.2 is what I'd say. About what they were about before they started adding all this television. So
adding this extra, yeah. And I mean, I just look at Raw had its good and it's not so good, but I mean, it was to me it was the Daniel Bryan show.
Well, yeah,
and that's what made it good.
Yeah, well, actually, every time he was out there, he was fantastic. And he's been so good over the last few weeks. There was a point that when they had Daniel, or actually they had Miz versus Wade Barrett, and Miz is going for the figure four leg lock. And the announcer, Michael Cole, says, gifted to him by Ric Flair, passed on to him or whatever, by Ric Flair. And I was why couldn't he have passed on to Daniel Bryan? And then I realized my very next thought was, oh, he doesn't need to pass it on to Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan's better than Ric Flair.
Yeah. Well, he's better than the Ric Flair rub.
I think he's better than Ric Flair. I realized that. And then I started thinking, right now, after what I've seen over the last 3-4 weeks, I'm not so sure I personally wouldn't say Daniel Bryan's the best ever. I mean, he's that good. He is incredible.
He is. He is unbelievable in the ring. He's a great promo.
Those internet fans, you know, he's an internet darling. He's got no charisma, but no, wait. Yes, he does.
Wait, yeah. Groceries. No, but I mean, the thing is, I mean, and again, as good as Chris Benoit was in the ring, you know, didn't have the promo, as good as Bret Hart was in the ring, didn't have the promo.
Yeah, no, he doesn't. He doesn't do everything. Like he doesn't. He's not a better storyteller than Bret. He's not a better. He's not a better. More intense than Benoit. He's not a better athlete than Angle. He's not as good a talker as Flair. But I'm talking all around.
Overall, yeah.
He's number Guerrero. 2. He's better than that. He's better than Eddie.
I don't know if he's better than Eddie.
Yes. He's better than Shawn Michaels. He's better than I'm at that point right now where I'm like, I think this is the guy's the best guy I've ever seen. And that's what I'm coming up. And I've been hearing about how the WWE was wanting to turn him heel and they realize that's a mistake. And they're going to keep him babyface. And we're even going to see him against John Cena coming up probably in July at the pay-per-view.
That Money in the Bank at least,
yeah.
and and at possibly SummerSlam as
Possibly SummerSlam as well. So, I mean, that's interesting, but you keep on hearing now they're thinking maybe this guy could be the number two babyface in the company, but they're wrong, because that would be a mistake, because he should be the number one babyface in the company.
Yes, yes, absolutely, and who knows? Who knows? I mean, again, it takes time with these things, and they're not known for their patience right now. And
or intelligence.
Or intelligence, exactly. They've got something here. The part that I've liked about it, and with the whole, I'm going to prove myself and whatnot.
Did you see the SmackDown where he destroyed the Shield in 3 minutes?
Yeah, yeah.
It was believable. You believe that this guy could do that. Same thing with Ryback. Oh, yeah. He's destroying Ryback, and you're like, man, he would kick Ryback's ass.
Oh, yeah, I don't know how much of this is, you know, Vince goes on his kicks and gets reminded of things. And I'm wondering how much of it is it was Bret Hart Appreciation Night. And there was a line that Bret said to Daniel Bryan that we kind of chuckled about, because we've talked about it years ago on this show, that, you know, you're a tough guy. You're not the biggest guy, but you're the toughest guy, Bret said to Daniel Bryan. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of, and because that's what Bret always was. I might not be the biggest dog in the fight, but I'm going to give you the biggest fight.
Yeah,
exactly. And that was always this thing.
You can't judge the size of the dog in the fight. The fight in the dog is
yeah. And but that was
fucked that up more, but nevertheless,
you probably could have, but. The thing was, is that, so how much of that is that sort of influence and kick being brought back to him just by the fun of memories? I don't know, but it's refreshing. I like the whole part about he's got to prove himself and he's going to do this. There was none of the yes and none of the no on Raw.
Not in the promos, no.
Yeah, they didn't.
Yeah, in the crowd there was. Yes.
Well, sure. I mean,
that's the other thing is when I'm watching him doing those kicks, and the crowd's going yes, yes. I realize I think that's his Ric Flair chop, where when he's retired and people are doing that kick, they'll still be screaming yes, like people still do the woo when there's a chop.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
that's you know what we're seeing here.
I hope so. And again, and how much of that maybe the pullback is over. And again, we talked about the talent of him and after WrestleMania.
It's not the talent, but you're talking about the size of him. And yes, he's small, but one of the things that's an advantage is while he's small, the people in the WWE aren't as big today as they were when Bret Hart was wrestling. So yes, he's smaller than Bret Hart, but relatively speaking, he's about the same size.
Probably, yeah. And I mean, you could go into that. I don't know if you're still in training to make a comeback, because you could be Daniel Bryan's Yokozuna.
I love to wear that thong.
Yeah, yeah, I don't. But I think that the Daniel Bryan...
You got nothing to put in there.
Mm-hmm. What? I'm not putting anything in your thong, you sick freak.
What in the blue hell are you talking about? Anyways...
Yeah, blue. It's. Purple, I think actually. That. Really. Let's get that looked at. I think that Daniel Bryan. We talked about it after WrestleMania in the 37-second loss. That gave him actually more momentum, mm-hmm. and they didn't completely kill him. They gave him actually some pay-per-view main events. Put him in there with Kane, and this Kane story has probably helped him.
He's helped himself through the story. It probably has made him more relatable and likable, but at the end of the day, it's because he's so good doing everything that it works.
Well, but I don't really think that they've booked him poorly either.
Well, no, he's been champion forever. That helps.
Well, the championship helps. The fact that he's in with Kane, their established guy that they like as his partner, and he's had that yes no angle to hold Dr.
Well,
Shelby.
Comedy character, and, though.
Well,
and now he's
moving
past that, which is what you're talking about when you're getting rid of the yes-no.
Well, but even when he was a somewhat of a comedy character, and he was bordering comedy, not comedy. I mean, as much of a comedy character he was, he still teamed with Ryback to go into Shield at TLC, and they had that knockdown dragout. There was always that they could almost like the full Foley Rock thing, where they could go to comedy and they could go to the serious back and forth and
well,
not...
Austin was the same thing. Austin could be hilarious, yeah. but you could still believe Austin was a badass who would fight, who could kick your ass and would fight anybody.
That's
even
right.
though he
yeah.
could be hilarious. And that's what John Cena doesn't have.
No, that's it, exactly. But that's and they fucking desperately want you to have him to have that.
Yeah.
But Daniel Bryan has that.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's an intangible that you can't teach. You just have to have. But and that's why pulling him back a little bit to that Hell No hasn't hurt him at all. You know, you can't, if you got talent, you can't, you know, you're going to rise to the top, right? Like Austin 316 says, "I just whooped your ass," is getting a fluke win against Yokozuna the next in the SummerSlam pre-show.
Yeah.
So it's, there's things, and probably if we'll have to wait to see how SmackDown turns out. The end of the show is Randy Orton delivering an RKO to Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, we haven't seen the TV edit yet. They might keep that off TV. They might not see.
Well,
there is speculation we'll see Daniel Bryan versus Orton, and Orton's turning heel. Tell you the truth, if Bryan is elevating himself as the babyface, they can do that.
Oh, I think that's perfect. I love that idea. It's a matter of Randy Orton has always been that kind of stone coldy, though he'll give you RKO to his mother.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'll have to say it's going to be how the announcers sell it and how Orton looks if it's a heel turn. So I won't know that until.
And
probably,
while people could say,
you know,
that's coming out of nowhere, kind of. I think you can easily say he's just sick of the whining. He's sick of the whining from this little punk, you know, this little puke. And you know what? He's sick of it. He decided to take care of it. And if you don't like it, you can kiss my ass.
Well, exactly. He's just like you. And do that whole thing. But I because they're still, I mean, they still have a hard-on for Randy Orton against Sheamus. Because they've got that penciled into the Summerfest now.
Yeah.
And you know, why after WrestleMania, I have no idea. But that's kind of the pencil. And so, I mean, the Orton heel turn is still, and it looks like, I mean, hell, I would do that. I mean,
I got no problem with that, yeah.
Time, I think giving Daniel Bryan the win over Orton, perfect.
And then elevate Daniel Bryan to being the biggest guy in the company, and maybe you can turn those ratings around a little bit. Maybe you can. Well, I mean, it's very tough. Anytime you're doing 5 hours, 6 hours, sorry, of main event television, 5 hours that really count. Because main event doesn't count that much. Anytime you're doing that 3 hours on a Monday, it's going to be tough to turn it around. Because it is just, it's too much product. And it makes you repeat yourself so much.
Yeah.
And of course, if they use the whole roster, it would help. But then they'd have to be willing to suck it up. Because a lot of people are going to be like the Usos and get no reaction.
Yeah. If they can
for a
be,
while. Not forever. For a while.
If they can be getting 3-4, coming out of Mania next year, that's a success.
Well, they can't the way they're going right now. I mean,
just saying that you're talking about using Daniel Bryan being the number one star, having that happen, and maybe that's a ratings turnaround. But
well, it will be a start, but it won't be the ratings turnaround. Even like when Austin was, you know, the champion. I mean, it continued to build for a while, right? I mean, the same thing with Daniel Bryan.
I mean,
you can make him the number one guy in the company, but. It's not going to be this year's WrestleMania if he's the number one guy in the company that he's seen as the number one guy in the company. It'll be the following year when he defends at WrestleMania 31 against Wade Bryant or Daniel. What's his name? Yeah, Wade
Fandango.
No,
oh,
the Bryant family.
Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt. Thank you. I said Wade
Bray
Bryant.
Wyatt. Thanks. Yeah, Wade Bryant. Yeah. He's British.
Yeah, but Daniel. Yeah, but against. Yeah. Oh,
but
things
anyway,
are up 1-0.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
I think
you
that,
hear, apparently, did you know this, that Owen Hart is he's the favorite wrestler for Pittsburgh. Did you hear that?
No.
Well, it must be, because the Pittsburgh Penguins are 0-3.
0-3. There you go. There you go.
For the Bruins.
I thought you were talking about a fall from grace. But
that too.
Speaking of Owen, did you hear about the book?
No.
Apparently, Bret Hart is going to be writing a book on the life of his brother.
Awesome.
And at this point, and apparently...
How many pages will it be?
Well, yeah, exactly. One for every day. I think that, and also there was a talk back. There was backstage. Brett could be very visibly talking to management and campaigning to Hunter and Vince for Owen for the Hall of Fame next year.
Well, that'd be awesome too. But it's not, yeah, as we know, all up to Owen, right? It's about Martha, and we don't know that situation. And it's not. Brett at one point was fairly close with Martha, but that also has eroded over time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I mean, and who knows if it's up to him? No one really even knows who it's up to. It could be up to Martha. It could not be up to Martha. I mean, who knows? It's a sealed record settled out of court.
Yeah.
And if that was part of the settlement.
If it was. I see that as being unlikely she'd give that up. But who knows?
No. It's not giving it up. It's a matter of, if it's part of the settlement that Owen will not go into the Hall of Fame.
Which is what she's always wanted. She doesn't want him in there.
Yeah, but
she doesn't want him to have any. She doesn't want him on DVD.
Yeah.
She doesn't want any acknowledgement that he was ever a wrestler.
Yeah, but fuck her. Because she has no legal claim to it. And that was the point that was made. So if she can be upset about it, and she can go on TV and say, I don't want this, but it can still happen. And Brett can want it, and Brett can put it in. There's no legal right. The only legal right to keep it, if it's part of the settlement, I will agree to settle with you out of court if you put in writing that Owen will never go into your Hall of Fame. That's it.
Yeah, could be.
That's the only thing that's going to keep Owen out at this point, I think.
Probably. You're probably right, yeah.
So, we'll see. I mean, obviously she doesn't like it. It's a shame and whatever. But
that's understandable, you know, as well, though.
It's definitely can be understandable, but there's two sides to the coin, and quite frankly, both are understandable.
Yeah, that's true.
So, that's good news when I heard that, and I guess this book will be interesting. So,
but back to Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, let's go back to
because
Daniel
Bryan. We're talking about the rating being a 2.6, and obviously you would think that would cause them to panic. But the truth is, they've been panicking for I don't know how many years now. They've been hotshot booking, and their hotshot booking even coming into this week.
They were writing the show as it was going on. Like, this was Nitro.
Yeah, exactly. And it turned out to somehow not be a bad show, but it's not, I don't know what causes the true panic. It's not even going to be the ratings, I don't think. I mean, Vince Sears, he's upset, he's mad, but he's not, this isn't the change. The change is when next year's WrestleMania does between 750 and 800,000 worldwide buys, drops 200,000 buys from this year, 200 to 250. Which is what I see happening right now, the way the ratings have gone down and the way pay-per-views are, and even the way, you know, things like UFC rate or pay-per-views are down. That's what I think will maybe finally set some sort of change in motion.
It's so hard to say because, you know, you don't know what trick they're going to have pulled for Mania.
Well, we saw a trick, but Monday was the trick. They brought back the McMahons. That was supposed to boost the ratings.
But they did.
That's what they fucking thought.
They did, but this is the June trick. This is the June trick. And there really is no, I mean,
right before SummerSlam, there's a big trick, like Punk going heel. That's going to really turn business around.
The right before was The Rock announcing the Rumble and that whole thing being said. But that the trick that they pull out,
that
they
was
don't pull out.
The big summer angle was Punk going heel.
That's fine, but I'm talking about the trick for the WrestleMania trick is pulled out in January.
All right. If they have a WrestleMania trick, I don't even think it's going to matter.
I think it will because it's depend. Like I said, it totally depends on what the trick is. I don't have one in mind.
Okay,
I'm just
they pull out a WrestleMania trick that's the equal of what they pulled out, say, the last 4 or 5 years. Then instead, it'll do 875.
I don't know. I think you keep it that million mark, it's steady. It's the people that are buying are the people that are watching. And I think that's where the trick comes in and gives you a little bit of bump. I mean, who knows? I mean, it's too far away for me to even think about it at this point because there's no, we know it's not a straight line.
Well, here's what we do know though, is that John Cena doesn't move the ratings. So to stay to John Cena, John Cena at this point is an all time great. He's a legend. He's sold a lot of, tickets. He sold a lot of pay-per-views. He sold a lot of shirts.
Yeah.
And there's no question about it. But it's also, if there was any chance that it was ever going to turn around, it was after this run with The Rock. That him going to the Steve Austin level. Or that him being accepted by all the fans and not getting booed. And that hasn't happened. So the idea that they're going to continue to have him as the number one babyface and face of the company going forward is also, to me, just it's like saying, okay, we're satisfied where we are.
Well, and in some degree they are.
Yeah, I know.
In some degree they are, and that's the whole, that's the sad kind of point about it, is that, like you said, they keep churning out, you know, the Total Divas and Main Events and all these other revenue generating television products, and it's the money's coming in. And as I said, I mean, we talked about this a couple of years ago, and that, you know, the change isn't really going to happen until there's cause for money concerns.
Or until they get that guy. But the thing is, I'm starting to think they got that guy. And that's, I mean, we've talked about this before. What happens if Shawn Michaels doesn't hurt his back and he refuses to put Steve Austin over?
Then Undertaker beats the shit out of him.
Well, there is that in that one night. But you know what I mean? If Shawn Michaels doesn't go away at the time, does Steve Austin become what he is? No, I don't know that he does. I mean, I think he probably does because I think it was probably inevitable and the momentum was so great. And I'm kind of getting that feeling for Daniel Bryan too. This is a guy that they wanted to be a prelim guy who became a upper mid-carder guy who's now going to be a main event guy who they wanted to be a heel who's now going to be a babyface. And you know what? At some point in time, they're going to have to go, you know what? He's consistently getting better reactions and outselling and getting better ratings than Cena. We got to make him the number one guy. And that's what it's got to be. It's got to be that they're just got to be, you know, hit over the head with it so often. And I think it's heading in that direction. I do think that he's the guy. I have this feeling that he's the guy, which is good. It's not guaranteed because, you know, we talk about this system and how much they fuck things up. But,
Daniel Bryan.
He's been so good the last month. I mean, God damn, I've never seen anybody like.
Well, sure he has. But I mean, go back to the Money in the Bank and the CM Punk and all of that and Pedigree 1-2-3. And so it's a matter of they had the hottest thing.
Well, that was not. I didn't believe in Punk the same way. Punk had something. And Punk could get that again. But.
No, he couldn't.
But, yeah, he could.
No, he couldn't.
But Punk could get that.
It's over. He had his chance.
No,
it's done.
That's not true. He could get that again because he's such a good talker. But.
He could get some, but it won't be that again.
Yeah, well. Because that was never what you and I think it was. It really wasn't. I mean, okay. Jim Rome talked about it, and it created a buzz in the wrestling community. And you know what? The next week, the ratings were practically the same. You know what? The week after that? Or you know what? The pay-per-view buys were only slight bump from the year before. And it really wasn't that big a deal. So you say they had the next thing. They didn't. Shut the fuck up. You don't know what the fuck
you're talking about. Because you're talking about, okay, he comes out and he does a promo, and then, the next week, the ratings didn't bump up. Yeah, because Stone Cold Steve Austin said, Austin 316 says, I whooped your ass, and he fucking jobbed it, or he beat Yokozuna by a fluke the next week. That's what I'm saying. This shit ain't next week ratings are going to go up. Next month. The pay-per-views are going to go up. It's fucking 18 months later of consistent build. And Punk took a Pedigree 1-2-3 in September, and then, fuck, it was done.
No, that's not true.
That's exactly what happened. True. We fucking stopped doing a goddamn podcast because of it.
Well, yeah, you were upset, but...
Because it's done. It was done.
It was...
They had it, and it was over, and he never got it back.
No, he never got it back, even when they put the belt on him for 4 days. He never will. But
I would say he never will.
I mean, he can cut that again. But you know what? Like I say, it didn't. It was never what it was. Here's the I see him being like a guy whose top side potential isn't Stone Cold Steve Austin.
So I'm gonna come to Daniel Bryan the night after. So his, a week. And,
no, but seriously, here's the thing. You're talking about 18 months later. 18 months later, it wouldn't have mattered. They put a push on him for 400 some odd days. It wasn't as good, and it wasn't the right time, and blah, blah, blah. They still did. He's only a marginally bigger star. They would 18 months of – if they had taken advantage of that and not fucked it up and not had the pedigree 1-2-3, you know what?
Sure.
He'd be only a marginally bigger star because he's only capable of getting to a certain level. I think Daniel Bryan is capable of getting a higher level, closer to – not quite at the Rock, but closer to the Rock.
Well, we'll see if you're right 8 days after Money in the Bank, because if the ratings aren't 3.0, then he's
a
failure.
You're a fucking idiot.
Exactly what you're saying.
No, that's not what I'm saying, you dummy.
Okay, so then we'll look at if the Money in the Bank. So it'll take a couple months.
But I'm just saying that thing was never as big as you thought it was.
It was, but it was their lightning in a bottle. It had the interest. They had it, and they fucked it up. That's what I'm saying.
Okay,
they fucked it up.
I'm saying to you, even if they didn't fuck it up, it would have only reached a certain level and not the same potential as Daniel Bryan has.
What I'm telling you is that Daniel Bryan, they're going to fuck up. And so you're excited about this. And
this is where we disagree. You're saying they're going to fuck it up. I'm saying to you that certain situations, they tried to fuck up certain things in the past and they couldn't because it just was, the momentum was too much.
I will give you the keys to my house if they don't fuck this up.
We'll see.
They will fuck this up.
I think at some point in time it's going to be inevitable. They're going to have to make him the face of the company. And when that does, that's good for the company. It won't get to Austin and Rock levels because it's a different time and they have too much programming on TV. It's only a portion of the problem. But he's the guy, much more than CM Punk, I believe, much more than John Cena, to give you a bump.
I agree with you that I think he's got more upside than CM Punk. And I agree with you that it is inevitable and it's only a matter of time. It's just that to me, it's only inevitable and just a matter of time until they fuck it up.
Look, if he takes a pedigree 1, 2, 3, I'll agree.
They're incapable. No, I don't know that it's a pedigree. Yeah, the thing is, I don't know that they're capable. It might be.
I mean, Curtis Axel's about to fucking take one.
Yes, well,
I never see anything in him. I don't think he should be a main eventer. That said, if you're going to give a guy a push, give a guy a fucking push.
I don't like Curtus Axel. I don't know. He's
a bigger star, sure, because he's in a better spot than he was, and he's with Heyman. But as far as making him seem like somebody that people should respect or is good or dangerous, they have not done that. And they won't be doing that. You know, because he's quite frankly below Hunter.
Yes, well, isn't he? He's quite frankly just below Hunter. Thanks, Steph. Oh, yeah, I know. But the funny part is like, that's the gimmick. That he's below these people. Yeah. And he flukes wins. And that's supposed to be the gimmick.
Yeah.
Like, that's ultimately the pathetic part about it, is that this is on purpose.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus. But, I mean, I hope Daniel Bryan does it, but he ain't. And it won't be his fault. Yeah. It's a different time.
I think they've done everything they could in many ways to keep him from even reaching this level, and he has despite them. So I hold hope that he can reach another level despite them that someone like Punk could. Because he wasn't even supposed to reach this level. It's 1-1 now.
He can be honest. He could be the top guy of the company. But they just don't know how to market guys anymore, and it's done. Like, it's never going to be – like, he could be the top guy in the company. But I don't know that that's going to actually mean anything. And basically, what it's going to be is it's a difference between Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels. Is that he's going to be in the 90s? Is that he's going to be the biggest star to the wrestling fans, and that's what he's going to be the star of.
I disagree.
Star of the wrestling
with fans. Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, both of them, especially Bret Hart, you had to really watch their matches in order to appreciate and understand wrestling. And John Cena, quite frankly, even though he can do some incredible feats of strength on occasion, you never watch him and go, "Fuck, he's awesome." Daniel Bryan, I could show that to somebody I work with who's never seen wrestling. Show him him destroying the Shield, and they go, "Fuck, this guy's awesome."
Yeah, but nobody's going to, is what I'm saying. Is it? Wrestling is at a level where it's appealing to the wrestling fans. It loses some fans. It gets no fans. But there's no buzz.
Buzz. But I think there are people who want to come back if they think there's somebody that awesome. They wanted to come back for Steve Austin when they found there was somebody that awesome. They'll want to come back for Daniel Bryan, because he does things that Bret Hart didn't do, that John Cena doesn't do.
But that's going to take a WrestleMania trick, and that's the whole thing. Nobody came back because of Steve Austin. It was Austin and Tyson.
Yeah, that's right.
And then it was, let's see that. Nobody for Hogan, it was Hogan and Mr. T.
Well, and that's what they were trying to do with The Rock and Cena, right?
Yes, that's it exactly. That was the
fortunately, it was John Cena.
And it didn't work, exactly. So with Daniel Bryan, that's what I said. We're on the same page in terms of WrestleMania 31.
WrestleMania 31 is where 31. When he defends against
whoever, Bray Wyatt. Whoever. It doesn't even matter who, because it's going to
be. That's my tip.
If they're doing it successfully, then it's like it could be Randy Orton, for God's sake.
Yeah, I know it could be, but I'm just saying that's my pick.
It doesn't matter who,
because I think that's the other act that's going to really get over. I think that's the other act that has the potential to. I mean, when they played that video on Monday, the crowd was quiet and they started clapping.
Bray Wyatt, yeah. No, absolutely. I think though that it's going to be some sort of WrestleMania celebrity tie-in.
Have a fucking chocolate.
That puts
I don't care if you're talking.
Put Daniel Bryan over the edge, because as I said, there's not wrestling fan. Wrestling has its base right now, and no one's looking, and nobody's even really admitting to be a wrestling fan, for God's sakes. So if you're there ain't going to be someone that has to say, hey, you got to see this Daniel Bryan guy. I don't see that. Not now. It's got to be consistent, and I don't trust him. It's got to be 18 months of consistent build for this guy, and I don't trust him to do that.
Okay. All right. So. But is he the best ever?
Not yet, but he could be. He could be. The other guy...
I've never seen anybody this awesome for a one-month period. And say, I think he's better than Eddie. And Eddie was awesome.
And Eddie was awesome. Yeah. Yeah, this 1 month is... Yeah, that's... It's... I'm trying to think of anybody that's had those kind of... Antonio Cesaro, no.
You know who's had a great month like this before in the past?
Or was Jericho?
Like, no, well, Jericho has had some great, but never. I don't even think this good. Ray, as far as every time I saw him, I was like, holy fuck, is he incredible.
Yeah, in the Nitro era.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was when every time you saw him, it was like, fuck that guy.
Speaking of good, we're recording this as a live TNA is going on. I got to talk about Slammiversary because I watched it.
Oh, Slam a motherfucking Versary.
Yeah, I'm watching it. And that was a total pay-per-view from the Nitro era. You know, it opens up with this X Division match that's very good. Has a really good tag match. You know, the undercard stuff is great. Then you had an overbooked main event that really wasn't good in ring action, but told the overall story. This is exactly what it was when it was Hogan on top. They did an angle around the main event that distracted you from the in-ring quality, and they had a great underneath. And this was exactly what Slammiversary was. Easily, WrestleMania, Extreme Rules, Royal Rumble, anything. Easily so far, I think the best wrestling pay-per-view I've seen this year.
Nice.
Including the All Japan one that I watched.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't see it. What about AJ's new music?
What was the same music you and I talked about a couple weeks ago when we said, oh yeah, he should be using this. And he should be. The problem is, and they should be. And he comes out and he's got the dark hoodie or whatever. But they have the lights all bright, and they have the really bright AJ Phenomenal behind them. So they need to change his entrance video. They need to set the mood lighting a little bit better. The music itself is great and will suit the character, but they just need to refine the act around him.
Okay, so but it is the type of music that we were talking about
song
how he needs to have.
We
said he should have. Cool. Speaking of TNA, a couple things quick. A couple releases from TNA. Todd Kennelly.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah, that's thank God. I shouldn't even say thank God, but I mean when you're the board with Nails in it or Bob and you're trying to cut costs, it's just what did Todd Kennelly bring? I mean, originally it was supposed to be Kennelly and Borash doing 1 hour and Taz and Tanae doing another, and then they got rid of Borash and three. It was an extra expenditure. Not, you know, I didn't think he was horrible, but I didn't think he was great. And it was just leave, you know? Douglas Williams has been let go as well.
Yeah.
He was a trainer in Ohio Valley largely.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what he should be. He's a terrific. He understands the psychology and terrific in-ring worker.
So that's, and then maybe Alex Silva gone. That isn't confirmed quite yet.
Well, if he's not yet, he will be soon.
Well, I don't know. I was going to call Flair and ask him.
Alex Silva, of course, the Gut Check Challenge winner, who was not scheduled to win, but Flair went off script because he was impressed with his promo and gave him a contract when he was the judge.
Yeah, Flair marked out, basically.
Basically, yeah.
For the promo. That was awesome. And then so those are the releases, but Rampage Jackson is coming to TNA.
Yeah, that's one of the things. I mean, he's, like I say, he's probably on TV right now as we speak.
I'm going to be interested to watch it.
I'm interested to watch it. I will say, though, I predict right now, epic fail.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, that was... And we talked about the Dixie Carter tweet after the McFoley show.
The big fucking signing. That was it, I guess.
And that's Rampage Jackson, exactly. Yeah. So
game changer at all. Mo doing, you know, MMA and wrestling did nothing. King Mo here, Lawal.
Yeah, I mean...
Bobby Lashley didn't exactly work.
I don't know anybody named Mo that ever got over. But, yeah, Lashley didn't work. Ever
kicked your ass. But Bobby Lashley didn't work either. You can't, guys doing both of these things at the same time doesn't work. And as far as Rampage just being a wrestler, he'll be better than King Mo, because Mo is kind of small. Mo is actually a better athlete, and he's younger. He's 2 years younger. I think he's 33 compared to, so 32, I think, when he signed compared to,
35. Thing with Rampage is he's also a longtime wrestling fan.
So is King Mo.
Yeah, I guess so is Mo.
But, you know, when Rampage comes out with the look on his face, he has that expression, like, I'm going to get into a fight, and he has that you know, junkyard dog
chain.
That looks cool. Whereas when King Mo came out, I think it was, Bound for Glory or whatever. When he
had that stupid
fucking cape, and he looked like a guy who's playing pro wrestling, who's trying too hard. Actually, doing that shit in MMA actually works, because it makes you stand out and makes you unique. Doing that in wrestling makes you look like a guy who's trying too hard.
Well, yeah, yeah. And I mean, Rampage tried to get into WWF, or was trying to get into WWF a while ago, or, you know, in the 90s, before he went over to Pride. And it was Undertaker that told him not to, or told him he couldn't. And he'd always kind of...
He told him he couldn't? That.
Yeah, he's, you, no, you don't got it, or something.
Oh, that's right. He went to him as a fan. That was right.
Yeah, and said, how do I get into this? And Taker is like, how do you get into it? You don't.
Yeah.
But, I don't see. I mean, again, we talked about, it's too late now, I mean, because Josh Barnett signed with UFC, but that's the guy, if you're going to do an MMA wrestling guy.
He would have been better, because he would have cut good promos and being a good wrestler, but he would have meant nothing for buys or pay-per-view.
I think the only thing that could work I just think in terms of an MMA invasion.
Yeah, exactly. But the very first time, if they do it right and they set up Rampage versus Angle, that'll have some interest.
Yes.
You set it up like an MMA match. What will it do for buys? I don't know. It will help them, but it's still TNA. Maybe you can do a match. And the thing about an MMA-style match with Angle is, even if he's green, it could be pretty good. And you don't have to wait too long. Your second opponent, maybe you go with Samoa Joe, exactly. And then I don't see anybody out there.
Hogan.
Fuck.
No, Bully Ray, maybe? I don't know.
I don't think so.
But, but
and after two matches, even by his second match, the interest will be cut more than half.
Yeah. There's going to be but if you do it like a Lesnar,
they have
Lesnar,
to get MMA people to understand. Here's the other thing: they have to know what to do with him in Bellator as well, because this is another joint deal. Whereas King Mo has only wrestled a couple matches in OVW and only had the one appearance as an enforcer. The other thing that was a big nightmare was they put him in this tournament, expecting him to win, and he lost his second ever match for Bellator, and because they do a tournament format, and that's it. Yeah. He's done. He's done in Bellator. He's done in TNA. Just a utter flop, at 33 in a big contract. So
I said, I I still think, as I said, I think you get one more guy, and I think the way to do it is a Bellator versus TNA feud.
Tim Sylvia?
Yeah, maybe. I just think whoever it is. I mean, but that's what you do. It doesn't have to be a heavyweight.
And Tim Sylvia had a wrestling match, and it wasn't as bad as you would have expected.
Yeah. Well, that's what you do.
But it does have to be somebody people sort of recognize. It can't be somebody from Japan or whatever. It needs to be.
Yeah, it can't be Harry Smith. It can't be Bobby Lashley.
It probably could be Bobby Lashley.
It might be.
Still somebody else, though. You need another former UFC guy.
Yeah. And
then,
you want it to look like
a bunch of cast-offs.
Yeah. And then, you know, that's the only.
But I predict utter fail.
I would be interested in an MMA, in a Bellator TNA feud, but at least at first.
Yeah.
But, you know, but yeah, I don't know. With Rampage, is there a third match out there that you could do?
Seriously, I see those are the two matches, and I don't see a third match, no. At least not, maybe you can bring in a Bobby Lashley. Almost would be more interesting to bring in a Bobby Lashley than to, you know, go with somebody else on the roster. Because you don't look at their roster and think to yourself, I mean, Rob Terry is a big muscled up freak, but you're not going to go Rob Terry versus Rampage Jackson is a good one. Like, you still need somebody who people are going to believe has a legit wrestling and maybe MMA background to some degree. And other than Joe and Angle, I can't think of anybody in the roster who fits that.
No, I said Bully Ray, maybe. I could see having a match.
Bully Ray would be the Tank Abbott versus an MMA fighter mentality.
Yeah, just a brawl.
Yeah.
But, I mean, who knows? What do you think of... Do you think it's done? It had to have been a couple of years ago, but you're talking about another guy coming into this. What about Kimbo?
I would rather bring back Ken Shamrock.
Yeah, it's true. Well, you could just bring in Seth Petruzzelli.
Kimbo would be the same thing. Kimbo's very charismatic, so one time he would be interesting, but...
If he ever got cut, Frank Mir would be the guy.
Well, yeah, Frank Mir could be great there, but he might get cut if he loses his next fight, so...
Yeah, well, that's it, so...
I just don't see him coming into TNA.
I don't either. Well, again, with Bellator, again, money talks, so...
How much money are we talking here? I guess it must be significant. Because Lord knows Rampage was making a lot in TNA, you know? And you know what? Tito Ortiz has retired, and he is he's managing and fucking up other fighters' careers now.
Yes,
like Chris Cyborg Santos.
That sounds like TNA in a nutshell.
But honestly, he's a wrestling fan, and you know, I know about his back or his health or whatever. But you know, I think he's fighting with Jenna Jameson. Probably needs some money to her again or something. I don't know, but I would make overtures to him for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what was his finisher would be the headbutt probably, and he's been in TNA before.
The thing, he's been in TNA before, and he gets it from a psychology. Like you could see from his promos, he watched a lot of wrestling. He understands it from a psychology and selling the personality and the sport type thing.
Yeah, well, exactly. I'm just trying to think of anybody else that Rampage could fight still. I'm still stuck on that.
There's just the two people that I see.
Yeah.
Maybe a rematch. I mean, and like I say, Bully might be a third, maybe. But, I mean, Jeff Hardy versus Rampage Jackson?
No, exactly. Aries, Rude, Storm. You know, I don't...
Rude, maybe, but I still don't see it.
Yeah, I don't. And that's the thing. I mean, Daniels, Kazarian, Kane.
Oh, it's the same thing. In Bellator... They don't have who's he going to fight? We don't know. Why? Because they don't have any fucking good heavyweights that anybody knows. And he's going to fight as a heavyweight now because he's sick and tired of cutting weight.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, Rampage against Brett Rogers. Here we come.
I hope they both shave their head and the winner has to call himself Mr. T. Actually, I hope Hulk Hogan sees him and the first time he sees him, he calls him Mr. T. Rampage. That'd be awesome.
That would be awesome. Oh, fuck. But nah, and then yeah, they could. Then
you remember us at WrestleMania 1, brother? Remember us on Saturday Night Live with Billy Callisto, brother? Hulk, that was me, brother.
Then they could beat up Chris Sabin, thinking he was Dynamite Kid.
Yeah, that'd be great.
But yes, I don't know. Yeah, the Rampage.
Did they get 2020 down there? Choke out a reporter.
There you go, Dr. D. But no, I just think that Rampage. There's things you could do with them. Is it? I'd be interested in a Rampage against Kurt Angle.
I don't think Rampage just actually pops a rating tonight. And that's another thing. We're seeing the ratings for TNA slipping the exact same trajectory, the exact same everything as we're seeing in WWE. And it's generally a better product.
Wrestling's not hot.
Of course, maybe moving the hour will affect them for a little while, too. So they might, you know.
Who knows? But, again, the other part about it is that with Rampage Jackson and such, like, I didn't see any publicity anywhere.
No.
I mean, we know about
it. No, I mean, they're reaching their core audience. They don't know how the fuck to reach anybody else.
Well, no, but that's, and it's it. That's what's happening in WWE right now, too, is that they haven't gone beyond. It's, you know, speaking of going beyond, WrestleMania performer and good friend of our show is a guest on Hell's Kitchen tonight. Maria Menounos.
No kidding.
Yes. Oh. Yes, she's going to sit at the chef's table on Hell's Kitchen tonight. Well, I was like, oh.
On Hell's Kitchen, huh?
On Hell's Kitchen. And to my girlfriend, everything I do relates back to wrestling, or I'm able to relate everything back to wrestling. So we were watching the preview for next week's Hell's Kitchen, and I'm like, hey, it's Maria Menounos.
You know, somebody told me last night they watched, I think it was Storage Wars, and Roddy Piper had the...
Pipe? Yeah,
yeah, they found in the Storage Wars, they found a kilt. So they had to go to a kilt expert, and they went down. And when they went down there, Roddy Piper just coincidentally happened to be in the store. It was quite the reality show coincidence, right?
That is. I thought you were going to say that they found him in the storage locker.
Roddy Piper's still hip.
Yes, well, it's metal. Mm-hmm. But, it says, speaking of metal... Dolph Ziggler
back,
cleared to wrestle.
Good. If that means I'm never going to see Alberto Del Rio versus Big E Langston again, thank fucking God. And who knows? I mean, we'll see if Big E is actually the Caitlyn's secret admirers. They're going to pull the trigger on that storyline heading into the pay per view on Monday because there's so much anticipation. I mean, people just can't stop talking about it.
No, that's right. Who's it going to be? Ooh. I hope it's Bray Wyatt. But
that would actually be great.
But
anything Bray Wyatt would be great.
It was supposed to be a Mark Henry babyface turn.
Yeah.
Sexual Chocolate was supposed to return. Yeah. But
they'd be better off still doing that.
Oh yeah, they would. But Big E was supposed to get Mark Henry's spot.
Yeah. But we don't
know. The strong black guy. I don't know quite why that. It's like, hey, you're big and black. We don't need. We have a new Mark Henry.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I was like, yes, welcome to racial sensitivity in 2013, yeah, everyone. Exactly. But and Dolph Ziggler is going to be back on Monday as
well. Yeah, exactly. You
know, so they'll talk about him and Alberto Del Rio for the pay per view. So you got him and Del Rio at Payback.
You
got
the three.
I don't think so. Not. I don't think you need it. With three stages of hell on top, I don't think you need it. But and then you got
Jack Swagger continues to be off TV, so.
Well, he's got a broken hand.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, he's got a broken hand, so he's going to be out for a little while.
Oh, wow.
Big Show's out with an injury. Mark Henry, of course,
I've seen people work through broken hands before.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it needed some form of like just surgery. He may be back right away, but they had to go and operate on it or something. Anyway,
okay. So Big Show's out. Okay.
Big Show's out. Of course, Mark Henry's gone.
Hopefully, they come back at the same time and put them as a tag team. I still want that.
Yeah, I think that would be really cool.
Because I mean, you got to push up a tag team division as long as the Shield are there. And I understand. I love the Usos. I love their entrance, and I think the face paint works for me. I really like their work. I think they're very charismatic. But it's going to take a long time of them on TV pushed regularly for people to take them serious. When I saw them get that win and I saw them get that time on Monday, I thought two things. A, they're filling time, and B, they're building them up for the Wyatt family. But apparently it's for S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, apparently it's for S.H.I.E.L.D. Being apparently the Wyatt family going to come in and work with Tons of Funk.
Yeah, that's what we're...
At least first.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean so much.
No, 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 that's right. But with the Usos, though, I mean, yeah, they got a couple of wins, didn't they? They got one on SmackDown as well.
Perhaps.
This coming.
Perhaps.
I want to say they beat the... I want to say they beat the Road Scholars, even.
Maybe, but I don't know. The Road Scholars, I mean, no, I don't think so, because Damian Sandow laid out Sheamus right. with the chest to set up their that's match nice. At the pay-per-view.
Yeah, so they're going to have a match at the pay-per-view.
You know, all this time I've been watching these two interact, I just assumed it was filler, and it was actually to build up a match. It shows you what I think of today's wrestling.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And but I mean, again, and the fact is that I've seen that match. I liked it the first time I saw it, even the second time I saw it. But I've seen it.
Well, yeah.
And I don't need to see it again. And they're gonna have it on pay per view. Sheamus is gonna win. Yay! You know, everybody's in the same spot.
Well, yeah. I mean,
there's
absolutely no drama. In fact,
no,
the best thing they could do is let Sandow win. I don't even care if Cody Rhodes helps. The best thing they can do, because there's just no drama. Again,
yeah,
they don't have so they've killed their they've just destroyed their heels.
Yeah, well, that's it. And then they're going to turn Randy, and I assume you're going to have Randy and.
I mean,
and
we were saying
Bryan.
A little while ago that, you know, 2-3 weeks ago, we're saying the only heels that were strong were Langston and the Shield. They have been kept strong lately. Now the only Shields strong are the Shield.
Yeah, yeah, the Shield, and I mean, and yeah. And I mean, Ryback to a degree, but I mean, even he's going to lose the Three Stages of Hell match now, and then where does Ryback go?
He'll win the first stage, and that'll be how you get the rematch, probably.
Well, no, there is no rematch, because the next pay-per-view is Money in the Bank, and you're going to have Daniel Bryan and John Cena.
That's
so true. Where does Ryback go over the rest of the summer?
Shit.
You know?
If
you could do Sheamus and Randy Orton, you know, you put him in a Money in the Bank in one of the ladder matches. I mean, that you could do that to put him in something for that month. But then you got to do something with him at the Summerfest. And if you're gonna have Brothers of Destruction,
yeah, and
against,
I don't see them turning. I don't see them turning Ziggler.
No, that's right. That's right. Langston, maybe Battle of the Behemoths, so he could get Mark Henry's spot. Really.
Whose spot? His liver spot?
His dog spot.
Not his spot.
My spot.
Maybe you could do Kane versus Ryback.
Well, no, but what I'm talking about is that I'm talking SummerSlam.
SummerSlam too.
But Brothers of Destruction against the Shield.
Is that what you're getting?
I that's where the plan was going. I mean, it's not going to be obviously up to Taker, but that's the plan.
I don't even see how you do that, because you've already had that. With Daniel Bryan in there, too. Of course, Bryan, I guess, got pinned.
The Undertaker is coming back.
Yeah.
Who gives a fuck what happened before? The Undertaker is coming back.
That's true. I really want to see that at WrestleMania, but we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see, yeah.
But I think, I mean, it doesn't matter that it's happened before. I mean, it's
no, I'm just saying, that it's not about that for me. It's about... Will anybody buy that a two-man team can beat a three-man team when they lost before when it was 3-on-3?
Yes.
Yeah?
It's The Undertaker.
Okay.
That ain't hard to make people believe. But, Ryback, suddenly, who's the babyface to fight
Del Rio?
The Ryback? Well, yeah, you know. Maybe, but then where does Ziggler go, too?
Well, I think Ziggler goes with Langston.
Oh, all right. I mean, you're probably right, but Jesus.
Yeah.
Fuck.
SummerSlam, at this point in time, not looking like a buy for us.
Oh, no, I mean, if you're going to do Cena and Daniel Bryan, you're going to have an Undertaker.
I don't think you'll have a rematch for those two. I think that'll be a one-off, one time. So...
It's possible.
Yeah.
But you got CM Punk back, too.
Yeah, that's
so
right. Yeah.
What does Punk do? Does Punk go babyface? Does Punk...
Punk will
go
babyface, yes.
You know,
What is this, to lead up to Punk versus Lesnar? Is Lesnar going to... Well, we're forgetting about Lesnar as a heel at SummerSlam.
That's true. So, but...
You got, obviously, Mikel Legarry against Triple H, but it doesn't look like they'll hold that off to SummerSlam.
I was going to say, that was supposed to be SummerSlam, but Vince and Stephanie weren't supposed to come back until, like, July.
Yeah.
In part of this angle. So they're super rushing it. I don't know if they'll do a payback deal or if they'll wait till Money in the Bank, and that'll be one of the one-on-ones in Money in the Bank. You know, whatever. I don't care about it at all, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
I mean, Vince is a great performer. Stephanie's got great presence.
No, Hunter's got. I mean,
everybody. Everybody was great in their role. Everybody was great in their role, but I don't care about the story.
No.
You know, it could be a very
fucking
well,
like, McMahon's in 2013.
Coronation Street is a highly regarded show that a lot of people watch. And I'm sure the actors on it are great. I don't give a fuck about it.
Yeah.
And this is the same. It's the same for me. I don't give a shit about the McMahons or about Hunter and the interactions, but the performances themselves on an isolated basis, I was fine with.
Sure.
Heyman, of course, steals the show when Vince is talking to McGillicuddy there, and he's like, you're going to have a match tonight. He goes, okay, great. There is just one thing. And Heyman goes, oh, geez, here he goes.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I was just like, oh, that was funny.
That was awesome, yeah.
Oh, geez, here he goes. But, I mean, and I love how Heyman always sticks out his hand to shake Vince's hand, and Vince just looks at him with this look of disdain. And Heyman
well,
still has
what you suspect happens in real life.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Mr. McMahon.
Exactly. So, all right, we got anything else? We got any news items, anything else to get to, any notes or anything? Because I would love to get the Twitter question we brought up a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we got just a couple of quick news items. And a Kmart near you coming soon.
Not near us. There is none in Canada anymore.
I know. So this is good because there's going to be a new clothing line available exclusively at Kmart's. The John Cena clothing line. I don't know quite what it's going to be, but you can have John Cena jorts.
Yeah,
I don't
it'll
know
be fashions from 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Jean jacket.
Yeah, beige camo shorts.
Yeah, Jesus.
Reebok pumps.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, yes, a couple other ones. Prince Nana.
Oh, yeah. Prince Nana.
Got a WWE tryout.
Oh, did he?
He did.
He's really a manager, though.
Well, I guess he's a worker that's just been being a manager lately, but I guess he can wrestle.
Okay.
So, and he actually used to be fat and, like you. And,
yeah, he used to be fat, too.
Yes, yes. Now you're rotund. But he did some job work, I guess, in like the early 2000s for WWF. That was back on like Velocity when they do squash matches, and like you'd see like Ken Anderson and CM Punk and guys like that, and Daniel Bryan, even Bryan Danielson, they'd just do jobs.
Yeah, yeah.
There, so like, low
key. I actually think he's quite charismatic. Always have, so that's fine.
Yeah, I was all right with that. And they seem to be okay with managers lately. You know, they haven't outright come out with a stable, but I mean, you got, you know, Paul Heyman guys, and you've got, you know, Bray Wyatt is essentially coming back as a manager, at least at first.
I don't really think he'll be a, well.
The Sylvester Lafleur, the French Stallion, that's what he is. He's a manager.
Yeah, he shouldn't be, but he has a great personality down there, too. He has a superstar look.
His gimmick, did we talk about this? His gimmick? No, we didn't talk about this. So I watched NXT, and Sylvester Lafleur was there, and we couldn't figure out why he was with those guys,
mm-hmm.
And how that all worked out. The guys are, I forget what they're called, but they're like hunters.
Yeah,
they're
like redneck types.
Yeah, they're like redneck, like Caden Murdoch kind of thing. Yeah. And Sylvester Lafleur is a French millionaire who enjoys... wacky investments.
Yeah, exactly. He made his money from gambling, I think it was.
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
Something that way anyway, but it's a great gimmick.
Yeah, yeah, it's a great gimmick, and it's a great look. Unfortunately, he looks like he should be wrestling, because he's got such a, you know, he's got such a great body and such charisma, right? So.
So we'll see how it goes.
But yeah, I mean, when I first thought of him, my first thought was DDP when he was a manager. That's the guy he reminded me of.
That's true. That's with the Diamond Exchange.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly. That was the first thing that ran through my mind.
Actually, that's a perfect comparison. You're still stupid, but that was a perfect comparison.
Absolutely.
Richie Steamboat. Remember him?
Sort of.
He needs back surgery. Mm. He may never come back. So that's the update. Because a lot of people are saying, well, what happened to Richie? He kind of fell off the face of the earth and no one was talking to him. But he's got to go see Dr. Maroon and get some work done on his back. He may be done.
I suspect he's going to make an excellent... I'm looking forward to the day when he's building my house. I think he'll be really good at it.
Yeah.
Which he would have been doing even without the back surgery, I think, eventually. So.
Well, yeah, it's I agreed with you in terms of his. You saw less in him than I did, yeah. And didn't. But I just assumed that he would get up there because of who he was.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, Vince loves his second generation guys, third generation, fourth generation.
But not always a fan of a Steamboat.
No, that's true.
So that's not
Dick
a guy,
Steamboat. I mean, never got nothing.
That's right. Fuck him.
Of course, he wasn't really related, but he pretended.
But Hunter, I mean, Hunter's a fan.
Yeah.
Vince isn't, so it's again. But yeah, that's. I'm trying to think of if there was any.
Well, it's
other,
very obvious that they have completely different ideas of what makes a star and what they enjoy in somebody.
Oh yeah.
Obviously they have the big, huge, jacked bodybuilder thing in common. But other than that.
Yeah. Oh, what they, and again, that's to a lot of these, and it's to a lot of the talent's benefit. I watched NXT tonight before we started the show. Mm-hmm. I didn't get to see all of it because it was, but I saw about three quarters of it. And there's El Generico again, just with presence.
Yeah, he has doing presence. I mean, they don't want him to wrestle well, but he has presence.
No.
2-1 Kings.
2-1 Kings, okay. Doing a backstage promo with Renee Young.
He's really good at those, and it surprises me.
And yeah, he was just tremendous. And Antonio Cesaro, you know, confrontation to lead to their next match next week or whatever. But just a great exchange verbally between, you know, and Generico got the better of Cesaro on it. Cesaro sounded a lot more rehearsed and scripted than Generico.
I mean, what happens if Renee Young was ever to meet Mae Young, would the world kind of spontaneously combust?
I don't know. I just want to know if Renee Young talks to her brother. You know, talk to the hand.
Mm.
So, Hand Young.
Does
all
he
grown
work?
Up now? He must. He's all grown up. I think he's an accountant.
Oh, so that essentially he's that's a hand job he gets then.
He has a hand job, yeah? Yeah.
All right, then.
See, well, he's not asking for a handout.
But you know what? He wouldn't mind a hand up.
That's true. You know, he started his career in New York, and now he currently works in Los Angeles. It's a real Hands Across America story.
All right, I'm ready to drop this.
Are you?
I mean, don't get me wrong, we could keep going, but...
We could. But
what else we got on? Anything else on NXT? How about NXT for the person who I've seen, because I've been watching it now recently... Quite often, too, the person who I'm impressed with as far as crowd reaction is actually Emma. But her in-ring work isn't ready. But could they bring her up in that whole lame, I'm an awful dancer gimmick? Could that get over on the big stage and the big leagues in the WWF? Or is that just a small crowd thing? An
That's
intimate crowd
small,
thing?
It's a small crowd thing. It's
too bad because, God, their women's division is so bad.
I just want a
spark of life if I have to watch it.
I mean, that would be Demi Paige. I mean, Emma, to me, Emma's a flash in the pan. She's a Eugene. She's a, what's her fuck doing the Brooke Hogan gimmick there? Jillian Hall. Yeah. You know, it's just a, you know,
crowd loves dancing. It's like the Fandango, but not as lame.
But
even
like
lamer in a way, which is what's great. It's.
The thing is, I mean, it would have its deal. But they would go with it for a while, and then it would just be she'd be the jobber on Superstars.
Well, at the end of the day, she's still a comedy character.
Yeah, she's a bushwhacker.
Yeah.
So, I mean, That's, you know, I guess, I mean, yes, it could get over, but it couldn't sustain itself, I guess.
Okay. The thing. Like the Fandangoing?
Yeah, like Fandangoing, for fuck's sake. Your next Intercontinental Champion, Fandango. Yeah. You know? Fuck.
Fuck you.
I mean, the only thing I would do there, honestly, the only thing I would do there, the only reason that I give Fandango the Intercontinental title is so the Wade Barrett loses it so that he can win money, one of the Money in the Banks.
Are they going to have more than one? They can't have more than one. They're just going to have one.
They have two.
Why?
Because they've had two for... since.
Yeah, but they've officially had two brands, and they officially don't anymore.
They have two championships. There's a blue briefcase and a red briefcase, right? Cena had one, Ziggler had the other, right? Del Rio had one, and who was it? Miz had the other? No, Miz and Kane. It was Del Rio, and I don't even remember who won the other one. Daniel Bryan. That's there, right. You go. So, yeah, I mean, since it's come back as a pay-per-view, they've done two.
Well, they're better off doing one. I prefer them to do one.
Yeah, but they're going to do two. So that's just it. Wade Barrett.
99%. To me, Wade Barrett. I hold out for that 1% hope that this time they'll
win. I know you do. Right. I know you do. But to me, Wade Barrett wins one of them.
Yeah, that'd be great. If they're going to have two, I'd give one to Wade Barrett for sure.
Who would you give the other one to?
Tony Cesaro.
Yeah. Yeah, I just... I guess I wouldn't be opposed to that. I don't know that they're. I'm trying to think.
Wade Bryant.
Well, I don't know if he'll be around by then.
By Money in the Bank, he will be.
It's a month.
Yeah, he'll be around.
Still, that actually would be cool if he used his family to beat the shit out of everybody.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And then he could climb the ladder. Yeah, I'd be good with that. Yeah.
I don't know. It works better on heels, so I want to see heels with it. Though it's hard to imagine two heels winning it. That usually isn't the case, but... like I say, I don't think we've ever seen a heel win it and use it to turn babyface yet. I think that's one of the few storylines we haven't seen. And that guy who actually holds it out and holds it for the title shot at WrestleMania. Those are the two stories off the top of my head.
That we don't have
that
yet.
We don't have yet.
Yeah, and those are, yeah. And that would be... I would use Wade Barrett for that, for the world title.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
You know, the problem is with WrestleMania now, to do the WrestleMania story, to me, you go off the air like Edge, right? Edge did it after the Chamber.
Yeah.
Right? And the pay-per-view went off the air with the new champion, Edge. And I think you go off WrestleMania with your new champion, ideally, is how I would do it. But the title match...
well, it'd be one... that's two things we haven't seen. A guy cashed it in at the moment at WrestleMania, and a guy who announces he's going to do it at WrestleMania and comes through with it. Because, I mean, Daniel Bryan announced it but never came through with it, right? So.
That's true. Daniel Bryan announced it.
Yeah, he announced
it. He said he was going to.
He said,
I'm not cashing
into WrestleMania.
That's right. And he used it to turn heel, just like Punk.
Yeah.
Cesaro's there. No, Wade Barrett's there. I'm just trying to think of anybody else that I would have do it. And if the admirer isn't Langston, you could always have Langston do it with the storyline that Ziggler thinks he's safe because my buddy's got the briefcase.
You could even have Ziggler help him win it.
Yeah. That's right.
That would be interesting, too. There's a new storyline. So speaking of Langston, you realize we just came up with three new storylines, and that's more than they come up with in 2 years.
Yeah, I know, right? Fuck. But speaking of Langston, he was on NXT in the opening segment. Mm-hmm. They did moderated by Jim Ross.
Is this where he loses? Oh, is the contract signing with him and...
So next week is when he loses the belt. With him and Bo Dallas.
Because Bo Dallas was not really a heel when he won the Battle Royal. He was still getting somewhat of a babyface reaction, certainly wrestling largely like a babyface.
Well, it's a Battle Royal, yeah. So I mean, I think he kind of backdoored his way with the Battle Royal. Don't want to say double cross because it's every man for himself.
But yeah, he did eliminate his former partner, Aaron Neville, so, or whatever his name is.
Yeah, Adrian Neville.
Adrian Neville, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know much,
but I know I love Mo.
Mo what?
Hmm?
More food.
More food.
Yeah.
I am hungry. Let's finish this sucker up. We got a Twitter question I want to get to. A couple weeks ago. You want to do that?
Speaking of Bo Dallas, though, is what I was getting at. He cut an awesome promo on NXT.
Really?
Yes, he did. About how he watched Biggie Langston win the NXT title. Then he watched him debut on Raw in front of millions of people. Be friends with the World Heavyweight Champion, Dolph Ziggler. Most importantly, saw him have a match at WrestleMania. And those are all great opportunities, but they should have been his.
Yes.
The reason that they weren't his is because Langston has that, the NXT title. I don't want the NXT title. I need the NXT title because with the NXT title, I can have that.
That's great. That's perfect.
I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly. So the NXT title right now, currently more valuable than the U.S. or Intercontinental.
Yes, possibly the world title, actually.
Possibly, yes.
That could be the feud. Big E's title is more prestigious than Dolph's.
Awesome. Oh, shit. All right, so anything else? Anything else?
We can go to a Twitter question here. I get your opinion on this and just go, I owe my dog in, so you can expound upon this for a minute. I'll start with my Twitter question so I can do this.
Okay.
That I just picked up here. And it, because we were talking about Daniel Bryan, so we might as well answer this question.
Best
on
ever?
Daniel Bryan. The question really is with a possible sort of elevation or moving upwards of the character. Does the beard need to go?
Oh, Christ. And you know what? I've been hearing other people talk about this, so I don't really want to because it seems like, though I have seen it as on Twitter, it's being asked, and it's being asked in wrestling forums, which I check out to see what the community's thinking on occasionally, though I don't post or really partake. And no, I don't think so. I understand there's a lot of bearded guys now. You have your Matt Morgans and all the guys in Aces and Eights, you know, Knox and whatever. But the WWE doesn't have a lot of bearded guys. I mean, I'm really trying to think of another guy with that big, thick beard in the WWE. And I guess Curtis Axel kind of counts. But other than Curtis Axel, I mean, you don't give a shit if a lot of people are bearded in TNA if you're WWE. So the fact that Curtis Axel is the only other guy I can think of off the top of my head with that beard. I mean, even the beard isn't a key part of the look for, say, Wade Bryant or whatever his name is.
Bray Wyatt.
Why the fuck am I doing that tonight?
It is for the Wyatt family, dyslexia. But it is for the Wyatt family, his henchmen. But
they look so different than Daniel Bryan anyways. I don't know. Yeah. I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters that he's clean cut. I mean, if you look at the history of wrestling, you've always had your unique characters and they'd be major stars. I guess generally, typically, you've had your world champions be, you know, your Bob Backlunds. But quite honestly, if Daniel Bryan had a good look, even a halfway decent look without the beard, I'd say shave it. But he looks like a 13-year-old kid without the beard. He needs it. I say you leave it.
I think you just groom it.
Nicer, so it's not so fucking mangy. And same with his hair is, you know, really long. And it looks like he doesn't. Yeah, I mean, it looks like he doesn't. Like, yeah, just groom it.
I think you just groom him, and then he's a world champion. Yeah. You know, Damien Sandow as well would be a guy.
Yeah, but it's not a beard, but it's not that same type of beard. It's not that same type of wild beard.
No, that's right. No one has a wild beard other than the Wyatt family. Yeah. But I think you just groom it and you're good. So, all right. Well, yes. Yeah. So your Twitter question.
This is one we talked about a couple weeks ago. It's not our Twitter question. You actually brought it up on the show, mentioning the people that had brought it up to us. Somebody had sent it off to us, talking about top five opponents for Bret Hart.
Yes.
I wasn't sure because I didn't actually see it, but I do want to hit this. But I wasn't sure, are we each supposed to list our top five? Are we supposed to come up with a consensus top five? Because I actually think that'd be more interesting, kind of, or we could do both. But
We can do both. Yeah, sure. I'll give mine and give yours, and then we can just see if it's a consensus. Because okay. I think we'll probably largely agree on. I don't know. We might agree. Okay. And it also didn't say if it was WWF opponents or just opponents. Wrestling opponents in his career. So on the heels of Bret Hart Appreciation Night, his top five opponents.
Yeah.
So you want to go first? You want me to go first?
You go first. Because really, I'm still hemming and hawing on that fifth guy.
Because asps, very dangerous. You go first. Indiana Jones? No. Anyway, to me, I'm just trying to think of his all of his
obvious
points. I mean, if it was top 10, I'd be fucking just because I've got so many names. When you go, I'll just throw some of them out there. Dynamite Kid.
Yeah. Well, I'm not giving you my top five. If you're just going to throw them out there, I will give you my top five.
Okay.
And the guy off this list is, in many ways, I think this is the most important and famous feud he had, possibly in WWE. But the guy who doesn't make my top five is Jerry Lawler. And but my top five is Owen Hart, Shawn Michaels, Kurt Hennig, Mr. Perfect there, and the Dynamite Kid and Davey Boy Smith, I believe both deserve to be in individually.
Okay.
Though you could put them as a team, and if you put them as a team, then who that fifth one is, again, kind of becomes difficult for me.
Really?
Yeah, I mean...
Okay, I'll give you the fifth one, and we can probably come to a consensus, but I go with Bad News Allen.
Yeah, that's one guy I would definitely have up there. Bad News Allen is high up on the list. He feuded with him in WWF, though... There he largely jobbed for him. Squashes. But
it was to make him look good. It was to have the match that they were having in Stampede so that Allen could look good.
But in Stampede, they had a hell of a feud.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying with ladder matches. And it was – but yeah, Dynamite Kid. Yeah, he had the matches with Davey Boy. The guy that may not make – my list, as crazy as it sounds, because they're so intertwined, is Shawn Michaels.
Really?
I just they had to me an overhyped Iron Man match, and they had the screw job.
They also had the tag matches.
Well, they did have that SummerSlam or that Survivor Series 92 match that was very good as well. But is that enough? I don't know if that's enough matches to me. To put him ahead of Owen Hart, to put him ahead of Mr. Perfect, to put him ahead of Dynamite Kid and Bad News and Davey Boy. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, like, that's a five. And Shawn gets left out of that.
That's interesting. You know, another guy who I would consider, though I don't put him in there, and that's another surprise guy, is actually Hakushi.
Hakushi? There's Taker?
Taker, for sure. They had some...
I mean...
Again, yeah. I think the problem I have with Taker is I didn't feel like they ever really had a true blood feud, or like
that they
on occasion had to wrestle each other over the title, but not like a true blood feud. And there's obviously one we're missing here that I'm going to have to adjust mine. I'm going to have to kick out the Dynamite Kid.
Right, for Kevin Nash?
No, even though Kevin Nash could be there, but Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, fuck. Yes.
Morons.
Yeah, I know, right? People are yelling at their computers and their iPhones. It's got Stone Cold. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would actually throw a Bad News Allen for Stone Cold, ironically, since the characters are so similar.
Shawn Michaels, too, but I'll probably throw out Dynamite. Or I could throw out Perfect.
Because
there's only a couple matches. Well, they also had that house show loop that was quite legendary.
Yeah, it was a little bit different. I mean, it spanned some different eras. I mean, and how many matches did Austin and Brett have,
lots,
really, right? I mean, yeah, but the house show loops and things, too. I mean, the major matches probably just as – I mean, maybe just as many as
– Well, they had more major matches still.
That's probably true. But, again, the era was a little bit different as well. But I mean, yeah, okay, Austin, I said Austin, Owen, I said Davey Boy.
Davey Boy has to be there.
Yeah, he's just, to me, he's got it. There's two matches alone, and there were more. But
well,
those
plus
two,
the tag team stuff, plus the stuff in Stampede,
So those are three that were on there.
Yeah.
As I said, I would put Perfect in there. And then you got to pick them. You know, do you do Dynamite Kid? Do you do Shawn Michaels? Do you do Bad News? You know, is
again another guy who he had. I really like the way they're dynamic together. Probably didn't get to be enough of a blood feud type deal, but was Razor Ramon.
Yeah.
His second title defense was against Razor Ramon, but really in many ways his first major one.
Now, do you take out Dynamite Kid and put in El Dandy?
I was trying to think of it in WCW, and...
Booker?
Booker in WCW was pretty good. He feuded with DDP for a long time, but and Sting for a long time, but they weren't particularly memorable.
We're not putting in
Chris Benoit.
Ric
Flair. I mean, Ric Flair's one who just... More because of how Brett feels about Ric Flair than how I feel about Brett and Ric Flair together. Like I like their match. Like, I think that match they had at that... the one that...
Sold out?
Yeah, was so damn good. Yeah. You know, I mean, I like Brett and Ric together. And I think the damn dynamic of the personalities was great. And part of that is the real life heat. But, again...
Not as many matches, though, right?
No, there's only a couple.
You know, so
but there is a again. I mean, there's like a 60-minute house show loop match out there on YouTube and stuff like that. Yeah. So I mean, there is matches, but you're right.
But I just not enough, I guess, that could get me, because then you said you got Lawler, and
Lawler was as far as a sustained feud that people were interested in, probably was the most significant. Lawler and when I think of sustained feuds. Really, Lawler and Owen are the two that stand out, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's... I mean, and even to a degree... Lawler and Owen, and I think it would have been Steve Austin.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Oh, actually, you're right. Steve Austin would still be his most significant, probably, WWF feud. Because it lasted for... What, it lasted 9-10 months?
Yeah, 9-10 months. I think... I mean, I think the one with Here? Owen was years, right?
The one with Owen lasted over a year, though the height of it was about 6 months, 8 months. Steve Austin, probably 10 months, actually. But I think Lawler was probably 2 years. I mean, even Bret Hart himself called it the feud that wouldn't die, you know?
Well, but that was largely with Owen as well. Because Owen was part of that original Steve Austin. Owen and Pillman, right?
That's true,
the one egging on Stone Cold,
that's right?
Right,
yeah.
So it's Owen never really... Owen and Brett, you know, then they made up for the Hart Foundation, and that kind of, they stayed together, but they would have split up again and done some stuff should, you know, had that not happened, right? Yeah. So, it's difficult, but, yeah, so, and again, with Davey Boy Smith, it said just the Wembley and the that In Your House Seasons beatings, those two matches
alone. Well, combined
alone,
with, like, the Hart Foundation, you know, versus the British Bulldogs. Right?
Well, yeah, tag team aside, I mean, just those two
alone. Just those
alone,
two, yeah.
You know, get,
well, I mean,
him,
the thing is, the
there.
Season beat. Well, there was a point where it felt like that. The first one was a rivalry, you know, as the SummerSlam. The second one felt like a blood feud. And that's what made it work.
Yeah, and it was for the
and
belt.
Yeah, it came back, and now it's for the belt all these years later.
And I beat you for the Intercontinental title. I'm going to beat you for the world title.
And the fact that one of the things that was interesting about Davey Boy was that he was somebody who a lot of people felt was that guy one of those very few guys who you really believed he should have been world champion, but he never got the title. So pretty much every time he wrestled, like he wrestled Shawn Michaels, he wrestled Brett, I never thought he was going to win, but always in the back of my mind, I went, they might decide to put this on him because he's seen as somebody who, by so many, who's like a guy who, one of the few guys to not get a run. So maybe this is where they give him his run.
Well, and that's, to me, in the 90s, where that Bret Hart era, as Vince called it, that was, to me, why it was about the wrestling, because we were always used to the four-year Hogan run, or the, you know, the two-year Savage, or, you know, the year of this, the year of that. So there was always that 1 year. So Bret Hart wins the belt, or Shawn Michaels, let's say, wins the belt, and they have, you know, the In Your House Beware of Dog. And, you know, obviously it's like, okay, well, this is Shawn's run with the belt.
Yeah.
So he's not losing the belt, you know, because this is his run with it. So he ain't losing, so it better be a good match.
Yep.
So and of course it was.
Yeah.
And so, but that's to me where the wrestling became important, because the title runs become predictable at that point, that okay, this guy just won the belt, they ain't dropping it. Where now they could change their mind on a dime and do that because they don't care.
But we don't care either, is the thing. When the title changes hands, I don't care.
Yeah.
Though I can say this, I mean, that's one of the problems with Payback, is right now I'm going to sit there and go, Cena's going to win, Ziggler's going to win, And I think Ziggler might have lost, but after this, after being gone, I think he'll overtain now. So Ziggler wins, Cena wins, Punk wins, you know, Sheamus wins.
Brian wins.
That's one maybe not, but probably wins.
Well, if he's doing the Money in the Bank thing, Brian wins.
Yeah,
right?
But I mean, that's it. I mean, it's like, that's a big problem with this one. You haven't set up matches where I feel that anything's in doubt. And that's a big part of when we're watching Raw. I mean, when you're watching, you know, Orton and Rhodes and Sheamus and Sandow in some form face each other for the 47th time in 50 weeks, you already know the outcome. It doesn't matter if it's a good match and if it goes 20 minutes because you know the outcome. You can't get yourself drawn into it.
No, that's right. Exactly. And then same with, a Curtis Axel match, right? It's absolutely. Like, okay, well, he's going to fuck up a win or fluke out a win or whatever.
He's going to get a disqualification or count out win. So count out. Shit.
So, yeah, who cares? This is going 20 minutes, right? So that's kind of the thing with the Shield, actually, is that the Shield did have that.
God, I wish he wasn't using the Perfect Flex, by the way. Again, you've got to have your own fucking gimmick. Larry the Axe Henning and Mr. Perfect did not have the same gimmick or Russell alike.
No, not at all. Well, that was a couple of reasons for
there's
that.
There's more than one, but you know what I mean? It's like Bret Hart didn't wrestle like Stu, and frankly, Owen Hart didn't wrestle like Bret. You know?
No, that's right.
Like, you gotta have your own shit.
Yeah, so, do your own shit.
I mean, if it's a variation on it, like the Dream Street is a variation of the Million Dollar Dream, I don't have a big problem with it, though I still think it'd be better doing your own thing, but... But this is, I just, using the Perfect Flex, are you fucking kidding me? Same thing, Harry Boy using D.H. Smith there, using the...
It's a power slam.
It's okay as a spot. Or if you're going to do the extended suplex spot. But, not as a finisher.
But not as a finisher. I like the Perfect Flex, so I don't have a problem with him using it. But
I wish somebody was using it. I wish it wasn't him. So I'll say this, he does put it on pretty fucking perfectly.
Yeah, it is. He does it well.
Yeah, the way he like gets up on his toes and gets the leverage and everything is perfect.
Actually, Zack Ryder should be the one using the Perfect Flex, to be honest.
Yeah, that'd be great.
But then we'd never see it.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know. I look at no, the other
we'd
thing,
see we'd see him occasionally, but you never see that because that would mean he's winning.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. But you never see the move. But the other thing with Payback, it's on Father's Day.
Oh, is it?
So, yeah. So, I may download it on Monday morning because I work Tuesday to Saturday, so I may download it before Raw and watch it. Yeah. But, you know, it's not a purchase.
No, that's right. That's right. Not at this point, that's for sure. It takes a lot for me to turn around and purchase it. I mean, I can purchase it and put it on my PVR and watch it later on delay. You know, you come over at like 8 or whatever because it doesn't matter because you don't work the next day. But, honestly,
we don't need to. I mean, if we hear that it's great, it's just a matter of...
Otherwise, there's so many ways to watch your wrestling pay-per-views right now, and your wrestling in general.
Yeah, exactly.
But I am glad I saw Anniversary, Slammiversary.
Slam a motherfucking versary.
I definitely recommend the show to a lot of people. Check it out. It was really cool. Main event... the gimmick that they came up with to distract you from the work was one I'd never seen before. And that's cool because, you know, there's not a lot of those out there. It was really a hell of a good night. Hell of a – just tremendous. Like the angle and a Styles match was great. The tag team match I think was even better. The Destination X match was great. But fucking women's match. Oh, my God. Like a 4.5-star women's match.
With Tiffany.
I mean, just incredible. If you're used to seeing minus 4.5-star matches in WWE, and you are, if you bother to watch them on your PVR and don't fast forward through them, just what a revelation to see this. And it just made me sad about WWE's women's division.
You know what I like to see coming off of this last knockout standing match? And just because I'd like to really test Gail Kim. I'd like TNA to hire Kelly.
And see if she could do it with her?
And just to see if Gail Kim could have a great match with Kelly. And then you would know. Then she's then she's Observer Hall of Fame material in my book.
Yeah, no shit. No shit.
You know.
Well, that, well, that's the thing, though. I mean, is I don't know if Kelly be willing to do. Like, Tiffany did her part. She absolutely, yeah. She was willing to take some serious bumps to get this over. And again, another thing that makes me sad about this is that we talk about this. This was a last woman standing match, and they went out there and did the things that men would do in such a match. And that's part of what made it great, because you're just not used to see that from women. But it wasn't overly, like, it was felt like a real fight more than, like, just being vicious for the sake of being vicious. And that's what made it a great wrestling match. So, I mean, we'll never see that in the WWE. You're not going to see when AJ finally takes on Caitlyn, say, 3-4 months down the road, because it's pending, as they said. They're not going to put a gimmick match out there. And it's the same thing. Gimmick matches for things other than just the world champions, WWE doesn't do it unless it's a pay-per-view for it. But they're not going to do a gimmick match to blow off a few in a women's match or even a tag match. And that sucks.
Well, I'd like to, yeah, and I'd like to stick with the TNA very quickly because just checking on online as we do the show.
I don't want
to
know. I want to watch it. I don't want to know.
You want to watch Impact?
I'm going to watch it. As soon as we turn off this off, I'm going to be watching it.
Okay. So I won't, and we'll talk about it. We'll talk
Say
about it
something
next week.
Newsworthy. Fuck it, tell me. Now you're killing me.
Okay. It's one of the things that we talked about. The show come out with Rampage's debut. Mm-hmm. Rampage gets a couple of sentences out. Cue Kurt Angle's music. So Angle comes out with them having a stare down, with almost like a Tyson and Austin thing.
Perfect.
At Jackson's face all twitching, and Angle telling Jackson that at some point he's going to have to go through him.
But you know what? I mean, while I like
the reaction apparently was impressive. The audience was loaded with people taking pictures, and the reaction was like he was a real celebrity, as opposed to like he got over as somebody,
which is rare in TNA. Now that said, the only problem I have with this is he's not ready for this yet.
No,
he's not ready for that match yet. He's got to have some training. As great as Angle is, he's not ready for that yet. So I hope that it's a setup and a tease for, but it could be a tease for Bound for Glory, and I have no problem with that. And that makes sense why Angle went over on AJ, which I didn't understand at the pay per view. So
I was going to say Bound for Glory makes the most sense to me at this point.
Yeah, no, that means a lot then. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So that is cool, just as we talked about it, and that's what they're doing. The first name that came to mind was Angle.
Like I say, Angle and then Joe, and that's it.
Yeah, and that's
it.
So.
All right, dude. I think we are OUT, but you need to mention a few things.
I do. We have this app on Stitcher.
Well, we don't. Stitcher has an app.
Stitcher has an app, and you can listen to We Talk Wrestling on this Stitcher app. It's wonderful. So do that.
For your mobile devices, it's a great way to listen to podcasts.
That's right. Or on your iPads, anything that has the apps
and
there.
We're the only podcast you really need to listen to. Just listen to us over and over.
That's true.
Or go back in the archives and listen to some of that great shit we've had.
Yes. Yes. Before it's too late.
Yeah.
Server issues. Server issues.
We're reaching a maximum.
But we're getting, we're going to get some other way to get them archived here. But, and we'll probably are. We're on iTunes as well, so go to iTunes, and that's where you can subscribe to the podcast and add a comment and rate us favorably. The other, WeTalkWrestling.com, which is probably where everything, at the very least, will be archived on there.
That we're not running near room there. It's other issues. So,
of other issues.
Yeah.
Well, what other issues did you come up with? You have to tell me about this after the show. So. I'm saying that
we're not running out. It'll be archived there because we're not running out of room on We Talk Wrestling. It's other places that we use to our RSS feeds and stuff like that.
I see what you're saying. Yes. We have other issues with other people, not WeTalkWrestling.com. I get you. But WeTalkWrestling.com is an excellent place to go to listen to all the shows as well.
I go there myself at least 3 times a day.
Do you? Wow.
From at least 3 different computers.
Yeah, just weird. Mo masturbates to it, but
and just happens to be what I'm watching.
He just happened to click on it.
Yeah, I'm touching myself right now. I mean, I'm 23 and a half hours a day.
So in the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks. Stop touching yourself.
But it feels so good.
But it's wrong.